Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk to former Sergeant Major, now Congressman Tim Walz, with the latest news on three bills to help veterans, and we'll learn about the creation of a new play called the Veterans Play Project. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
For many, today is the end of a week of celebrating our nation's independence. This week we saw parades, fireworks, baseball games, stood by the barbecue grill and sipped lemonade. The week surrounding the 4th of July always seems to provide a mini vacation from the doldrums of work and gives us the opportunity to enjoy a little summer. Today, I'd like to spend a moment reminding all of us why we celebrate the birth of our nation. On the 4th of July, 1776, our founding fathers adopted the Declaration of Independence, declaring independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. That day, 13 colonies stood up separate but united as a country under the government for the people, by the people. John Adams wrote, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore." He got it right. 236 years later, we're still celebrating, and we're taking care of military families who protect what our founding fathers put in place. As some of our service members return home from deployments or hang up their uniform for its last time, they are faced with employment challenges. I want to extend my appreciation to Governor Dayton, who has proclaimed this July Hire a Veteran Month. Another nod to the Department of Employment and Economic Development, who have organized the Minnesota Veterans Career Fair that will be held on July 11th at the Earl Brown Heritage Center in Brooklyn Center. This commitment to those that serve in our armed forces ensures that generations to come will continue to celebrate our independence. For more information on the Minnesota Veterans Career Fair in Brooklyn Center on July 11th, and to learn more about veteran employment, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is Congressman Tim Walz from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District. Congressman Walz, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Tom. Thanks for inviting me.
Congressman, I understand you're a retired command sergeant major, and you're also a congressman in the United States Congress.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a couple of rules on this show, three of them exactly. One of them is no politics, second is no acronyms, and the third one's no cussing. Do we have anything left to talk about?
What are we going to talk about the rest of the time? But, neither of those two titles get me out of taking out the garbage at home, though. I've tried that before, you know. Sergeant major here. Yeah, sergeant major, get that outside anyway, so...
So you get the same type of respect from your wife that I get at home.
You know how it works.
Get it done, Sergeant. Get it done. Congressman, can you tell our listeners a little bit? You had quite a career in the National Guard, and you served for several states.
Well, certainly, I always say that a great privilege to serve your country. I think my father was a Korean War era veteran, and I remember it was just, I think, expected in our family. One day I turned 17, when the went drove me over to Springview, Nebraska, to join the National Guard, and got sworn in by a young lieutenant over there, and then had the privilege to spend about the next 24 years serving in the Nebraska, and I was in the Texas and the Arkansas, and of course the Minnesota National Guard as I moved through my career, both in college and in jobs, and ended with the 125th Field Artillery out of New Ulm ended up as the sergeant major over there. So I think anybody who does it knows that you certainly get far more from the service than you probably ever give, and I'm certainly proud to have been part of the Red Bulls and the great tradition in Minnesota.
And Congressman, I'm sure that your last assignment in the Minnesota National Guard,
yeah,
as Command Sergeant Major, was your favorite, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I always say they always tell you, Tom, you know this work. They said the last job you actually work at is first sergeant. So that's where the work actually gets done. But I think it's quite a privilege, and I do take great pride in that. I stayed as an enlisted soldier, and I think it's probably fit better with my belief on how it should work, and got the chance to serve with and serve under so many great people. You were mentioning earlier your friendship with Commissioner Shelato, former Adjutant General Shelato, and of course I served under him as a soldier. So I think that those connections back to Minnesota and in that job is quite an honor.
And Congressman, you've seen firsthand the last 10 years there's been a transformation of the Guard from weekend warriors to citizen soldiers, and ready to go. Their ready to status is unbelievably high, isn't it?
Unbelievably high. When I the status, and I said this Red Bull division here in Minnesota, that reverberates with respect through the Pentagon and through the ranks of the military. These the troops here have performed so well. I mean, from Kosovo to missions that they did in Europe, and then of course in Iraq and beyond, they have been nothing except ultimate warriors. They have folded into the system exactly as it was planned, and they have become a truly operational reserve. And I think many people's vision of the Guard is a strategic reserve in the case of all-out Cold War type of things. That's not the case. You talk about a flexible fighting force and one that is willing to move at the drop of a hat. And I think, quite honestly, transformed these missions, especially in Iraq, bringing their civilian leadership skills, whether it would be in civil engineering to teaching to law enforcement, to truly bring a multifaceted war to a conclusion. And that was in no small part because of these folks. And that's done at a incredible sacrifice to their families and to their employers and, of course, to themselves to do it. And they've done it with dignity.
And Congress, you experienced firsthand the deployment, so you know what this is about and how the families suffer and what a good job our soldiers and airmen do.
Well, I said serving on the Veterans Affairs Committee to understand the responsibility we have for this. It is amazing what the families are able to do and the strength that they do it. And I can tell you, being an enlisted soldier and being responsible to make sure things are being done at home, it's done with a sense of service and a sense of pride. And again, the families with a sense of dignity of how they do this. And my responsibility is I don't meet a single constituent in southern Minnesota that doesn't want this nation to do all we can for those folks. And so it is quite a transformation. And as you and I were speaking about, Tom, is that our Vietnam veterans have changed the conversation that these folks are welcome back now. I can't walk through an airport, and I'm glad I can't, without somebody cheering when our troops come through. And that's a positive change.
Never again, my buddies Never and I again. Will allow this to them to be treated the way we were. We're speaking with Congressman Tim Walz from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, you retired, and then you got into politics. How did this happen?
Well,
Sergeant Major?
I'm a school teacher, and I we were talking earlier, too, when I got introduced to a young man. As they said, he's a congressman and a retired sergeant major, and he said, why'd you take the demotion to Congress, Sergeant Major? To be very honest, Tom, I certainly never planned my life to do this. I'm a school teacher, and that's what I thought I would do. But I just felt like so many Americans felt that there wasn't a voice for regular people there. And I felt that, to be very honest with you, the polarization of the politics had gotten to the point where people had gone become, it's good to be skeptical of government. That's a good American trait. Being cynical is very dangerous. And I feel like the sacrifice that went into giving us self-government, that the people serving in self-government need to understand what it meant to put them there, and they should act accordingly. So I just, I very naively, I will be the first to say that, thought that you just up and ran for Congress. And thank goodness in Minnesota, it still works that way. Some of my colleagues from like New Jersey take me around like it's a circus sideshow, and they say, hey, this guy didn't even know anybody in his political party and ran for Congress and won. And I said, I think that's what did it. And it was that the sense of what we could do. And I'm very proud of what we're doing, especially for veterans. That holds no political affiliation. That holds a sense of what's right for our country. And we're making progress there. More to be done, but making progress.
Congressman, I understand you're the first E-9 Command Sergeant Major to serve in the United States Congress. Is that true, sir?
That is true. And when that was mentioned at a large gathering of a bunch of veterans, an old Korean War veteran in the back got up and said, it's about darn time. Now take care of those troops. And so I don't know if that's by attrition or what, but it's certainly something I see it more as a a mission order than I do as an accomplishment.
Do you get to call the house to order like an old command sergeant major?
I certainly feel like it many times to do so.
Congressman, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the committees you serve on, specifically the Veterans Affairs Committee, and several pieces of legislation that you're working on for our veterans issues.
Great.
We're speaking with Congressman Tim Walz from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm joined by Congressman Tim Walz from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District, the first E9, retired E9 to serve in Congress. And Congressman, I still find that hard to believe, but should I call you Sergeant Major or Congressman? I suppose I'll call you both.
Yeah, the folks in the VA committee, it's Sergeant Major. I think maybe that resonates, but I don't know if it was attrition or what, but as I was saying before we broke there, Tom, it's certainly, I understand that responsibility. It's probably very fitting, as every your military listeners know, that that job as senior enlisted folks is troop well-being, taking care of it. And I would like to think that's the same mission of the VA. And I simply refuse to believe that this nation can't care for its veterans and do so in a cost-effective, good manner of being stewards of the taxpayers' dollars, because that's just necessary. And the cost of defending this nation, that saying, freedom isn't free, it's certainly not. And those folks that come to the VA or look for the VA to be there to get what they earn. They weren't given these things. They earned them. And we got to deliver.
Congressman, you serve on several committees, but the one I'm most interested in is Veterans Affairs. What does the Veterans Affairs Committee do quickly?
Yeah, well, we have oversight of it is next to the Pentagon. Of course, it's the biggest government agency, and the job there is to provide everything from burying our warriors with dignity to making sure we provide the health care that they've so earned for their service to this nation, as well as paying benefits that they've also earned from whether they were injured or survivor benefits for those who lose loved ones in war. And it's a large organization. We've got about, of course, 27 million veterans in this country, 1 million new veterans. And our job is to make sure that these veterans receive the highest quality health care. I like it now that my folks at the Mayo Clinic say the best health care in America you're going to get is at the Minneapolis VA, as it should be. But we're dropping the ball on some things. I think our claims process is broken. It takes too long. You've heard this, I'm sure, Tom, from folks that it's a maze. It's too bureaucratic. It's too top heavy. And so our job is to not only write legislation like a new GI Bill, make sure we're getting these veterans back to work and things, but also to provide oversight and making sure that our veterans are getting the care that's promised and owed to them, to be quite honest.
And Congressman, I know you've got three bills that we wanted to just touch on briefly today. And the first one was the TSA USARA bill. And my biggest question is, why do we need a bill?
Yes.
Don't they have to follow the same rules as everyone else?
No. And you said no acronyms. I'll make sure this.
Sorry,
is,
I did
no,
that.
No, no, and I get that. But it's the making sure, just in short, that this country says that if you go serve this nation and you come back home, your job will be protected, your seniority is protected, and all of that. We put that into place. The Transportation Security Administration that was created after 9/11, of course, they claimed that, and I think early on there may have been a legitimate claim that, for personnel reasons, they had to be able to move people around more. The problem is that here we are 11 years later, and I believe they are not fully hiring back these veterans as they should. And to be very honest, I'm very disappointed in them. They should be a model employer. The federal government should be a model employer, because our private employers do this with great dignity. And if they don't, they're subject to legal action coming to them. And we have numerous police departments and schools that have lost guards, warriors that have gone. And when they come back, they're expected to get their jobs back. And TSA, to be very honest, was trying to use the immunity of that they needed to have more flexibility. And I said, if this is a staffing issue 11 years later, then the problem is management, not these troops. And so I got a great amount of support with that. And Senator Lieberman over in the Senate's bringing that forward. And I think we'll change that. But I'm with you, Tom. It should go without saying, but...
It's a shame that you have to do those things.
Yeah, but that's self-governance.
I salute you for doing it.
Well, yeah, and we'll get that one fixed.
And Congressman, we also wanted to get to the Veteran Skills to Jobs Act.
Yeah, and this was the one when President Obama was out here a couple weeks ago. This was a bill that he took this bill and turned it into executive order for the short run. The problem that executive orders are, they only last as long as the presidency. Whether that's another year or 5 years, the voters will decide. But for me, what this says was as simple as this. You're trained as a say, a technician on a certain aircraft in the military, and you come out of the Air Force as being this aircraft technician and you're licensed and certified, that should be able to translate into civilian certification to be able to get you hired. Same thing should be with a CDL, a truck driver's license, you know, making sure those skills are there, as well as things like EMTs. We have folks that, as the president said, if you can save someone's life on the battlefield, you can certainly drive an ambulance to here, as long as you meet all those requirements. So what we're trying to do is match things up. Minnesota's doing a great job of this, of saying before these folks transition from the military back to civilian life, let's make sure we give them the everything we can as the heads up. And we're not giving them anything for free. They have the skills. Let's just translate it into a certificate that says, yes, you're qualified, you're ready, and you can get this job. Now it puts them in there where they can get the job. Before, they were simply pushed to the back of the line, or worse yet, the programs forced them to go on unemployment, which we were spending more money. And you know this, Tom, that idle hands are the devil's hands, if you will, to bring these troops back from war and not have them productively moving forward ever. Now we're starting to see more of the mental health issues come up, some of the addiction issues and that. So what this bill simply said was, is translate these folks over, put them in first in the line, well qualified, and let these employers know that if you want to hire the best, most well-trained, most disciplined employees you can get, hire our military people. I mean, it's the least we can do as a nation.
So this bill essentially gives the veterans credit for what they've learned.
That's
and done
correct.
And experienced.
That's exactly it.
And then they can finish off some type of degree and,
that's right. And I'm not
and
asking
get to
if,
it.
That's right. And if they don't, you know, if they don't perform, we're not asking employers to do any special things for them. We are saying it's not special treatment to bring a veteran back and put them right there in line to get hired, because the only reason they're not in the front of the line is they put their careers on hold, they put their education on hold, and they went and served this nation. If they simultaneously learned a skill that can be translated into the civilian sector, it makes sense for the employer to get a well-skilled, well-qualified person, and it makes sense for us as a nation to follow through with what we owe. And it doesn't make any sense to pay them unemployment insurance and then pay for their college again in the GI Bill with a skill they already have. And this bill just does that. I'm glad that the president said, good idea, and put it in there.
We're speaking with retired Command Sergeant Major and now Congressman Tim Walz from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, there was a third bill that we want to talk about, Hire at Home Act.
Yeah, of trying to, it's very similar to the bill that we were, the Vets Job Skill Act, but trying to get folks some preference, get them in, get them back onto the job again. And both of these bills, I might add, Tom, I have great military retirees on the Republican side. Colonel Jeff Denham from California has the first bill on the vet skills, and Steve Sivers, a colonel from out in Ohio, Republicans, both of them have sponsored these with me. And again, for your listeners, it's exactly what I would hope they would expect us to be doing. There's no differentiation on hiring these veterans, getting them back to work amongst the parties, and these are really good members of Congress trying to get it right. And I think these three bills, they're all just to, again, it's not to give special, you know, we have specialized classes to get folks hired at different areas and, you know, set-asides or whatever. If the top priority can't be veterans returning from service to this nation, then something's wrong. And this just simply, these three especially just say, give these folks the, you know, the courtesy of bringing them back, letting them either get their existing job back, giving them the preference to get in line first, or giving them credit for things they already know to get working.
And Congressman, lastly, I think you had introduced the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act.
Yes.
Can you tell us briefly? We're almost
yes.
Time.
Well, and I'm very proud. It's a group of, I'll give full credit to this. There's a group of six folks with Parkinson's down in southeast Minnesota who did the work, and the data supported it, that showed that exposure to Agent Orange was a precursor to Parkinson's disease, and it happens. And this nation has a responsibility. The problem that many of us have is the way the Agent Orange claims were written. We had veterans that have now been fighting for over three decades against their own government that certainly had exposure to Agent Orange, but the way the law was written said that you had to step foot in Vietnam like yourself, Nam. The problem I have is I've got a lot of veterans who were inside of bladders on ships that were cleaning out Agent Orange. I have folks in Guam that were loading it onto the planes. I have Air Force personnel and these things that were on and loading the ships that had them. So you have folks that didn't officially step foot in Vietnam that now have all of the effects of Agent Orange, and they have their government denying them the claims. And these things are going to cost, but then we cut and prioritize, cut from somewhere else and do this. And I said, I'm tired of these folks coming here and fighting against their own government on these claims. And I want to add those Blue Water Navy folks, if they meet the requirements, the documentation was certainly there, cut through those claims and get them paid.
Congressman, I wish our listeners could see you, because what I'm looking at when you talk about the Veterans Affairs Committee is the Sergeant Major talking.
Yeah.
And one of the things you told me earlier today, all we ever hear about in the papers and on the radio and so forth is partisan politics.
Yeah.
But you told me about what happens on the Veterans Affairs Committee, and that's not the case, is it?
It is not the case. And I have strong working relationships, and I think the way it can be in this country, again, having political differences doesn't mean that the other person is wrong or is against getting things done right. There are differences of ideas. And when we come together on a common goal, it's amazing what we can do. I have to tell you, I take great solace because I'm like everybody else. If you think you're frustrated with politics, be there every day in the middle of it. But I would encourage, if you get a chance, watch a hearing from the VA committee. Watch us work together and talk about the things we do together and go to each other's districts to help on veterans. That I think there's a model there. And I think that comes from that understanding. We all have strong beliefs in the military. There's a lot of type A personalities in the military, but there's also a lot of respect for one another. It's maybe that truest democracy, if you will, that there's a sense of we're going to get this right, and the respect that goes into serving together. I think that carries itself over into the VA committee, where we're there governing ourselves because of the sacrifices of folks who served in the military. So we had certainly better conduct ourselves in that manner. And that's why I would argue the committee that's passed the most number of bills and the most bipartisan bills is, of course, the VA. And I think that's the way it should be. That's what I have yet to meet a person, Tom, in anywhere in southern Minnesota specifically, that ever said, I don't want my tax dollars to take care of these veterans. Nobody says that. This country gets it now. So
at the end of the day, we're all Americans, aren't we?
We all are. And I think there's reasons to be hopeful. We have to be, because the blood and the lives that went into giving us self-government, if we're not going to fix it, who is? So,
Congressman, we're just about out of time. Any final quick thoughts for our listeners?
No, just a thank you to you, Tom, and thank you to the folks here at the station for giving you this time and getting out there. And I thank veterans for speaking out and making this work, making not just the VA committee work, but I know you said no politics type of thing. And I say this not
You've
in a political
very good
way,
so, well,
of demand better out of us, demand the dignity that goes to this, and demand that we follow through with those promises. These Blue Water Navy guys, these folks coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, we don't need them fighting their own government over this. And we also need to be smart. We want these folks healed up and hired, because they're our future business leaders, our future political leaders, our future teachers, doctors. Let's get them back working. If you were willing to go and risk your life, you're certainly going to make a great employee when you come back. So let's do what we can.
Pretty easy to work when no one's shooting at you.
That's right.
Congressman, thanks for taking time
on
your busy schedule to be with us today.
Appreciate it.
That was former Sergeant Major, now Congressman Tim Walz from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Connie Cotier of Bloomington. Connie recently completed several full-time tours in support of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. As a master sergeant, she ran the awards and ID card section for a year before becoming first sergeant of a soldier readiness center. During the mobilization, she helped develop the first pre-retirement seminar program for the Army Reserve and National Guard. With more than 20 years of management experience, she is eager to continue her career helping others. Connie and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Connie, contact the Minneapolis Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll learn about the creation of a new play called The Veterans Play Project. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about some workshops that gather stories and experiences of anyone who's served in the military. These stories will inspire the creation of a new play that would be presented next year, with veterans performing alongside professional actors. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
The Veterans Retraining Assistance Program, known as VRAP, is a joint program of the U.S. Departments of Veterans Affairs and the U.S. Department of Labor, which was included in the Vow to Hire Heroes Act of 2011. VRAP offers training assistance to 99,000 unemployed veterans from ages 35 to 60 years old. Eligible participants will receive up to 12 months of training assistance equal to the full-time Montgomery GI Bill active duty rate. Also, the U.S. Department of Labor will offer employment assistance to every veteran who participates or applies to the VRAP program. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is accepting applications for VRAP. For more information, visit va.gov.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Leah Cooper, Artistic Director for Footprints Collective. Leah?
Hi.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand that in addition to being the Artistic Director of Footprints Collective, you are the Executive Director of the Minnesota Theater Alliance.
Yes, it's true.
Can you tell me how's your career start and what are you doing and how did you get to the Veterans Play Project?
Oh, my goodness. It's a long journey. The Minnesota Theater Alliance is my other job, and it's a service organization that serves all of the theaters across the state of Minnesota. There's about 400 theaters, more theaters here than most places, in fact. And then in addition to running the Theater Alliance, I'm a theater maker myself. I've been a director for about 25 years, and I've made all kinds of plays in all kinds of locations, but I've always been really interested in finding a way to make plays feel more genuinely connected to the community that the play is about. And a few years ago, I went and did a residency with a theater in Los Angeles called Cornerstone Theater, and they've been developing a method for the last 25 years of making plays with people who aren't necessarily theater makers themselves, collecting their stories, turning those into a play, and then producing that play with members of the community performing on stage alongside professional performers. Well, after I studied their method, I really wanted to do it here in Minnesota, and I found some willing partners in a couple other theater companies, Mixed Blood Theater and Bedlam Theater. And so this is a production of all three of our theaters, and our interest is bringing the stories of veterans, anybody who has served in the military, on stage, their stories in their voices. And a lot of our motivation, I think, is the recognition that a lot of the depictions of military service in media and in culture are sometimes created entirely by civilians who don't really understand the experience. So it's really important to us to get the stories straight from the people who have the experience.
So these are stories you collect up based on real life experiences.
Yes.
That you build a collage of, and then you write a fictional play based on those real life experiences?
Exactly. We're not trying to write a documentary of any one person's life because everybody's experience is different. There are as many stories as there are people who have served, of course. So we just want to gather as many different stories from as many different perspectives as possible and then bring those together into one larger story that encompasses all these different experiences. We also want to honor the privacy of anybody who shares their story and not take every detail directly from their life and put it on stage. So we're going to bring many stories together. That's the goal.
We're speaking to Leah Cooper, Artistic Director from Footprints Collective on Minnesota Military Radio. So Leah, I understand that you saw this process elsewhere. What led you to try to do it with veterans?
Well, some of it was just a gut thing. I haven't served in the military myself, so it doesn't come from a place of my own experience, but it comes more from a curiosity because I don't have the experience. Some members of my family have had experience with the military. But more than anything, I think what compelled me was with so many people coming home right now from service in a variety of conflicts that have extended over a long period of time, while the civilian population has in some cases remained largely unaware of their experience. I feel like there's a lot of myths and misunderstanding, and there's a lot of gaps between the civilian understanding of what people have been doing when they've been serving, why they served, and what they're experiencing when they're coming home. And I thought it would just be a really moving and potentially fun, interesting journey to have people share their real experience so that their friends, their families, other veterans, and civilians could have a better understanding of what that was about.
Now, you're just starting to collect up some of these stories, but what are your expectations in terms of length of the play, any expectations about what you might find, or are you pretty much open-minded on that?
Well, one thing that's really important to us is to not go into these workshops where we're asking people for their stories with too many expectations on our part. We want to write a play about what we hear, not what we expect to hear. So we don't have a lot of expectations in terms of what it'll actually be about. It might be leaving, it might be about leaving, or it might be about coming home. It might be about the crazy things you do to keep yourself interested when you're sitting around waiting, or it might be about a lot of action. It might be about just trying to find a job when you get home. We have no idea. That we'll discover based on what people share with us. But what we do know is it'll probably be somewhere between an hour and 2 hours long. It will not be performed in a theater. We want to perform it at a site meaningful to the veteran community, and we're waiting to discover what that is. It will have music. It will probably have some movement in it, maybe some dancing. And that's about all we know right now. We're waiting to discover the rest as we go.
So this could be a play based on a fictional deployment?
Yes.
And maybe about leaving for deployment and some things that happen while they're away and things that maybe happen to the family, and then about coming home. And it could be fairly emotional, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it could be. We might create a brand new play. We also might take an old classic piece of literature or an old classic play and adapt it, change the details to make it very specific to here and now in the stories that we hear.
Now, you're going to collect stories from veterans from all conflicts that are willing to come in and talk to you. Do you have any notion of what period this play might be set in?
Wow, no, we don't. We're going to have to wait till we hear the stories. It might even be interesting to set it in a completely fictional time and place, or a time and place in history, or we might just make it right here, right now in Minnesota.
All right, we're speaking with Leah Cooper, Artistic Director from Footprints Collective on Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about the dates that you can visit with Leah and participate in the program and tell some stories. So please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My guest today is Leah Cooper, Artistic Director from Footprints Collective, and we're talking about the Veterans Play Project, where she's collecting up stories that will inspire the creation of a new play that will be presented next year with veterans performing alongside professional actors. Leah, that should be interesting when the play comes out. You're going to have some people that aren't trained actors in there acting with, of course, some good trained actors. Have you tried that before, mixing those together?
Yes, it sounds challenging, but it ends up being an amazing collaboration, because there's some things that actors just can't fake. There is no substitute for having authentically experienced the story that you're telling. And what we do is the goal is not to suddenly overnight in one rehearsal period train somebody who's never performed before to become an expert actor. What we do is we take the best of theater craft and use that to sort of prop them up and give them the best support possible. So depending on who comes and is interested in performing, they may or may not have to say a lot of lines. If there's somebody who is really comfortable saying a lot of lines, then we'll give them a character that has a lot of speeches. But if they aren't really comfortable talking, but they happen to play a musical instrument, we might have them do that instead. Or if they move really well, if they know how to dance, like in clubs, we might create a whole dance number around that. So we kind of wrap the play around the people that we're working with so that they can bring their best to the show.
Well, the dancing thing leaves me out, so we're safe on that.
Okay.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about, you're going to have a series of meetings where the veterans can come in, and just so people don't have to quick write that down, they can find more information about this where?
On our website, footprintscollective.org. There's also a Facebook page of the same name, Footprints Collective.
Footprintscollective.org. Now, Leah, you're going to have a series of workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Who's eligible to participate? Who do you want to come?
We want everybody to come. Anybody who has served in the military at all, any gender, age, ethnicity, any branch of service, it doesn't matter where you served, it doesn't matter whether you saw combat or not, it doesn't matter if you served 50 years ago or 6 months ago, anybody. It's really important to us to get a very wide perspective and as big a range of stories as possible. We know that there's a different story for every person who served, and we want to get all those perspectives.
So men, women, World War II to Afghanistan.
Absolutely.
And what would be expected of those that show up at the workshops? How's this going to work?
Well, it's pretty easy. They're about 2 hours long, And we provide food, and we mostly sit in a circle and we talk. We do a variety of different exercises. We might ask a question of the whole group, and some people would share some stories. We might have some posters hanging up with questions on them, and people could write their own answers to those questions on a post-it and stick it on the poster, and it would be fairly anonymous in that way. We do a little bit of moving around the room, not like dancing, just really simple movement to express things. And every part of the workshop, people can participate or not participate. We understand that people feel different levels of comfort with different things. So at any point, people can just sit back and listen and watch. Also, if people share something that after they've shared it, they maybe feel a little uncomfortable about it showing up in a play, they can always say, I don't want that in the play. And we will always honor the privacy of anybody's story. So it's a pretty informal situation where you can participate as much or as little as you want. About 2 hours long.
And the cost?
It's free. It's completely free. And there's food.
Any rules involved?
There are a couple really simple rules. They're nothing too surprising for anybody who's worked in any kind of a structure. We like people to try to be on time so that we don't disrupt the workshop midway. It's important to us that everybody's sober, so they're bringing their best self and their best mind. And because everybody is going to be sharing different stories, it's really important that everybody is a respectful listener to anybody who is speaking while they're telling their story. Those are all the rules.
Now, how many workshops are coming up and where are they going to be?
Well, we have about 8 workshops scheduled throughout the month of July. They are mostly located in Minneapolis. Quite a few of them are at the Mixed Blood Theater, which is over on the West Bank part of Minneapolis. There are a few at the Brian Coyle Center, also in the West Bank neighborhood. There's one at Our Savior's Lutheran Church over on 24th and Chicago. All of these are in Minneapolis. We will be continuing to schedule workshops throughout the summer in various locations, and that information will be on our website. We're also really open and interested to bring workshops to people. So if somebody has a group that is maybe not so close to Minneapolis and is interested in bringing them together, we'll come to you. So that's an option as well.
And we'll have a list of where you can go at our website and our Facebook website. But to sign up, you send an email to signup@footprintscollective.org or go to footprintscollection.org. Is it collection or collective?
Collective.
Footprintscollective.org. And you'll find complete information on that. So we're speaking with Leah Cooper, Artistic Director for Footprints Collective on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Leah, you've had one or two of these, I guess one of these so far. Do any of the veterans show any reluctance to tell stories? Are they chomping at the bit? Are they ready to go? Are they a little standoffish? How's it going?
Well, it's going amazing. It seems like people find it a really amazing experience to share and even more to be listened to and then to discover some common experiences. One of the things that's most interesting for us is when one person tells a story and 6 other people in the circle start shaking their head saying, oh, yes, I remember that too. Our first workshop was mostly with a bunch of Vietnam era vets. And some of their stories were old, and some of them had been shared, and some of them hadn't been shared. And so there were some really great surprises among them when they would recognize common experiences that they maybe didn't realize were common. And so sometimes people are a little shy about sharing, but then they'll be really brave about sharing something else. It really depends. Everybody's got their own experience, and some people have love telling stories, and some people, they'd rather maybe just write down a couple words and summarize it on a post-it, you know.
So you saw a little emotion from my Vietnam veteran buddies.
Just a little. Every kind of emotion. A lot of laughing, too.
That's good. Laughing always helps.
Yes.
And getting the story out always helps. Now, once you collect these up, there's a whole series of these, as we've talked about. What will this new play be about, and when and where will the play take place?
Well, that remains to be seen a little bit. We're going to keep collecting stories until we feel like we've really gotten a nice wide variety and a nice deep sense of what the stories are. And then we're going to take some time to ourselves and write a first draft of the play. And then what we'll do is we'll invite anybody who was part of a workshop to come back and listen to a reading of the first draft. And that gives everybody a chance to give us some feedback, tell us if we're heading in the right direction or if we're way off base, and we might make some rewrites based on people's reactions. That will happen in the winter of this year. And then it is our goal that by spring we will hold community auditions. We'll invite anybody who was in a workshop and anybody else who served in the military to come audition to be part of the show. They can perform. If they're not interested in performing, they can help us build the sets or the costumes. They can work backstage. There's all kinds of ways to get involved. But being in a workshop now does not obligate somebody to performing later. People can come into the process anywhere along the way. by summer of next year, we will be performing it in some location that we hope will be meaningful to the veteran community. It might be indoors, it might be outdoors, but probably won't be in a normal theater.
So for those veterans that sign up at footprintscollective.org, will they be getting updates on how your progress is going and invited back to the reading of the play and help reinforce those type of things?
Absolutely. And if somebody's not that interested in being part of a workshop, but they just want to be kept informed what's happening, they can send an email to that address and just let us know that, and we'll just keep people informed. And we also, of course, promise never, ever, ever to give away anybody's email address to anybody else.
So you're going to hear a lot of stories, a lot of workshops. How are you keeping track of all this? Are you recording it? Are you making good notes? How's that going to happen?
Well, when we come, in addition to all the vets who are part of the circle, there's myself, I'm the director, there's the playwright, his name is Anton Jones, and then we usually bring like three or four performers with us, and they participate in the workshop, but they also help us take notes. And then we all compile those notes at the end, and we put them into one big document, and we just keep reviewing it and keep adding to it until it'll be gigantic, I'm sure.
So are you the primary writer?
No, I'm the director. The primary writer, his name is Anton Jones, and he's a local playwright who's been doing work in town here for quite a while.
This should be fascinating.
I think so. I'm super excited.
I'm going to give you my information because I want to see how this goes.
Well, and we want to get you on stage.
Oh, I'm great on radio, but I don't know about stage. We'll send my military producer up there and take care of that. One last question. We've just got about a half a minute left. Why are you doing this project?
I just really care about people getting a chance to share their stories. And as an artist, what fuels me is curiosity about people's experiences. And the idea of collaborating between people bringing really powerful experiences with professional artists who bring really powerful skills for turning that into a transformative journey for an audience to experience, I just think that makes the best theater. And I think it makes the best way of sharing people's stories. I think it can be cathartic for people to share, and I think it can be really important for people to listen.
We've heard a lot of stories from veterans on this program, and I'm excited. I think you're going to have a lot of material, and this should be a great project. Thanks for doing this, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Leah Cooper, Artistic Director from Footprints Collective. And for more information, go to footprintscollective.org or go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Congressman Tim Walz, Leah Cooper, Commissioner Larry Shelado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear about Minnesota's efforts to help our military families cope during repeated deployments. That's next Sunday morning at 7 or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.